Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream. After a season like no other, there's just so much to unpack. We need to keep talking about it all summer long. We are Triple M Footy.
Oh, it's game on! Oh.
Thanks to Brighton's lawyers.
B-O-L-D goal!
This is Triple M's summer session.
And if you are celebrating Australia Day weekend this weekend and you're having the extra long weekend, well, we wish you all the very best. Take it easy on the roads. Remember, it is double demerits across New South Wales. Now, this hour's a big hour because we've got Andrew Abdo, the CEO of the NRL, to speak to very shortly. And, of course, Maroon Confidential is back for another week where we look at rugby league identities and what's been going on around the place. And you wouldn't believe it, our very own Paul Kent has been spotted in Broadway. And you're not going to believe what happened to our man Kenty in Broadway.
What's happened?
Well, I'll reveal it all in Maroon Confidential.
Maroon Confidential.
But he gets a bit of a run.
AKA the Waterloo Whiteout section.
Sam Burgess has been spotted. It's a whole big thing.
Okay.
It's a whole big thing. Maroon Confidential. We'll do that a little bit later on. And coming up as well is Andrew Abdo as we continue hour three and Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M summer session. Thanks to Brighton's lawyers. They commit, protect and succeed.
It's a summer show all about the NRL. It's Triple M's NRL summer session. It's thanks to our mates at Brighton's lawyers where they commit, protect and succeed. Maroon and the human tricep, James Hooper, as well. We're joined by the big boss of the NRL, the CEO, Andrew Abdo, has been good enough to give his time. Andrew Abdo, welcome, mate, and hope you had a good break over summer.
Yeah, hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it was a terrific break. It was exciting to reflect on an incredible year and to start thinking about the plans for the year ahead. But yeah, we are 48 days to go until kickoff on March 11. And we're all getting pretty excited.
Firstly, Andrew, congratulations on all the hard work from everybody at the NRL in terms of getting 2020 run and won. It was a huge performance, a lot of sacrifices made. So everybody involved in the game and all the supporters of the game, very thankful. What I want to ask is, as soon as you've got back into headquarters, you haven't even had the feet under the desk and you're straight back into trying to resolve the salary cap and pay cuts. How did all of that shake out?
Gee, Hoops, I really like that. Run and won. That's pretty catchy. I haven't heard that one before. That's excellent. It's been a terrific team effort, and I mean that genuinely. Throughout 2020, and the pay deal is just an extension of that. I think that the players. I mean, I want to, and this is genuine. I really want to pay my absolute acknowledgement and respects to the maturity they've shown. In 2020, the discipline, the bubble was at times what we required the players to do. It was extremely restrictive, and they've been very disciplined. And by and large, the only reason we were able to deliver the season was because of that. The clubs, the coaching staff, the support staff, and the players, they were really under the pump, and particularly at times where we had to ramp up. The restrictions and the borders were closed, and it extended into the players, agreeing to a reduction in their player payments, and the 20% reduction in 2020 was already agreed to, and what we've done now is finalised what the remainder of the CBA term, which goes out to 2022, the reduction in the salary cap of 6% this year and 6% next year, but it's more than that. The total player payments includes things like their rep payments for playing in Origin and a bunch of other cash that goes to the playing group. They've agreed to a reduction in all of that, and we've managed to get that done in a very spirited, positive way. And, hats off to them.
Yeah, congratulations. I think everybody realises the events around the world over the course of the last 12 months have certainly made people look at the world through different eyes, and everybody understands that there needed to be a variety of sacrifices made. Let me ask, you touched on the bubble there and the fact that, we saw a number of players breached last year for breaking the bubble. We saw Wayne Bennett, the South Sydney coach, had to sit out for a couple of weeks because he went to that restaurant in Leichhardt there, Grappa. What's it shaping up like this year, and are the players potentially going to have to make similar sacrifices again, because that was hard on everybody.
Yeah, it was. We have the benefit, though, James, of I suppose some of the experience of 2020, and we have the benefit of a bit of time to plan for it. So I think if you look at it at the moment, again, state governments are doing a terrific job, and Australia as a whole is doing a terrific job, particularly in the context of when you look around at the rest of the world. However, we still have borders closed, and we still have some instances of outbreaks here and there. So we have to prepare for any scenario, and that's what we've been doing. We've been working with our experts to try and develop a set of protocols that allow us to operate no matter what the situation, no matter what happens from an infection rate perspective. We're all incredibly positive and hopeful that we'll see a successful vaccine rollout over the course of 2021. We don't know when that'll happen. We don't know when we'll be in a situation where borders will be completely open and we'll be through this. So we have to prepare for different scenarios. What I will say, though, is in our work, having the benefit of last year and the knowledge of last year, and a bit of understanding of what works and what doesn't, the bubble or the rules and the protocols that we will develop for this year will not be hopefully nearly anywhere as onerous on the players and the playing staff, because we have the benefit of experience and we also know what works and what doesn't work. And so we'll be preparing at this stage, with borders being closed, for a much more practical and a much more whilst we still, you know, don't compromise on safety and safety of the players in the community, we know that we can apply rules that perhaps are a lot more sustainable for the players.
Okay, well, I'm sure that'll be a relief for the 400-plus NRL players and also all of the coaches and all of the support staff involved in the game. What about specifically, and coming up very soon, is the All-Stars game. Where's that at? Because that's obviously supposed to be up in Townsville.
Yes, we are planning for it as stated. So the game at this stage is going ahead. We are busy working with the process of the selection of both teams, the protocols that will be in place in order to play on match day, and obviously for the team to prepare. At this stage, you know, we have crowds in Queensland. If the borders remain closed, fans won't be able to travel up from other states. But we will be able to play the game with the necessary travel exemption and the necessary protocols that we'll have in place. We're working with the government on that, particularly the Queensland government, and we hope to finalise that in the next couple of weeks. But at this stage, the game is going ahead, and we're very much looking forward to the start of the season.
Andrew, one area of the game that really fascinates me is the area of expansion of NRL expansion, bringing in one or two new clubs. I know that's kind of been taken off the table a bit because of COVID. How far down the track do you think that chat would be again?
So let me clarify. I mean, I don't think it's not off the table. It's very much in the consideration. And I know the commission and the commission chair are very, very determined to make sure that the game continues to grow. And growth comes from a range of different things, from the bottom up. So growth in participation, growth in the way in which we reach new markets, we continue to grow, particularly in Australia, New Zealand, and the Pacific region, but also growth in terms of our premiership competition. And that we need to look at the business case for potentially having more clubs, a 17th club. We've been spoken about the analysis of, what that might look like as having a 17th club in Brisbane, but potentially an 18th club too. So these things are long-term considerations for growth. We need to make sure that we have all the information we needed to make sure the business case stacks up. But it's very much at the top of mind for the commission. We need to ask all the right questions, and we need to provide the data so that they can make an informed decision. So it's not off the table, but obviously there's been a lot of operational complexity with what we've had to do this year. But that doesn't mean that we've taken our foot off the pedal around planning for the future. So it's on the table, but we're still in the process of working out what that might look like and how that might unfold and what the timeline for that might look like as well.
Triple M's NRL Summer Session. Stay with us. More from the NRL CEO coming up very shortly as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M Summer Session. Thanks to Brighton's lawyers. They commit, protect and succeed.
Triple M's NRL Summer Session with Maroon and Hoops. We are speaking to the CEO of the NRL, Mr. Andrew Abdo. Andrew, what about we go back 12 months, March or April of last year. We're talking about how the NRL is leading the way in getting their competition back underway during COVID-19. When we look back, has there been any sort of financial benefit to that or any growth for the NRL?
I'd like to think so. I think it starts, but you're going to kind of start inside the game. I think what it's done is it's given the stakeholders inside the game, everyone from the players to the to our clubs to our fans, a little bit of self-belief and a bit of pride, and I think that that's important. And I think we saw what we can achieve when we work together. And I think I think about how what an unbelievable moment it was that first round back, and having the footy back on the field, and how that gave people and even those that, you know, aren't necessarily rugby league fans, perhaps you know, an opportunity to sit with their family and enjoy having some live sport back. I think you've got to start there, and I think there was a lot of self-belief and a lot of pride. But I do think that we perhaps have won over you know, some hearts and minds further afield in perhaps not our biggest markets in Australia. And then, you know, obviously we know we got some great coverage overseas. And what was really interesting for me was the coverage that we got. There was some unbelievable innovation by, for example, our broadcast partners, you know, Fox Sports and Channel 9 did a terrific job with the artificial crowd noise, the way they shot the game and the way they took the game to people's households, as an example of that. So some great innovation, you know, fans in the stand. That came from a small entrepreneurial business in the idea. It came from an entrepreneurial business in Sydney. And that's been mimicked by Major League Baseball and NFL across the globe. There's a lot to be proud of. And I think Australia has done a terrific job on handling the pandemic. I think rugby league equally did a great job of getting live football back for the fans. And that's definitely, I think, something that has perhaps changed people's perceptions about our game. That's a good thing.
Yeah, well said. Another one that I had on the agenda here is the possibility of this trade window. We've heard this for many years, Andrew, that obviously when players are off contract, it dominates a lot of newspaper ink and makes headlines, all the rest of it, the whole year round. And certainly you just spoke about, you know, growing into different markets. People who don't necessarily follow rugby league, I know they often struggle with the fact that players can sign to play for another club 12 months out, yet then they are still playing for their existing club. So where are we at in relation to possible having a trade window or two set up?
Well, I think Hoops, I mean, hit the nail on the head. I think there's a lot of frustration. I don't even think it's people that don't know our game or don't understand the game. I think it's people, it's our fans that get frustrated by it all. I think we all do. I think the system is, there's no perfect system, but I think our system is needs improvement. I think it's frustrating for clubs when they get pressurized you know, because a player wants to leave early and get a better deal from another club. I think there are certain instances where players feel aggrieved because they get pressurized into having to move to another club because of a change in coach or a change in strategy or form or whatever. And I think most of all, it's the fans, right? The fans that are following a club, they had the heroes playing, and now they've got to sit with a situation where a player that they know is going to be playing for an opposition club, you know, has to finish the season because it's so far harder. The example that you gave. So the point I'm making here is that the system is not the system needs improvement, and we need to have and you're never going to get a perfect system. But what we want to explore, we want to do it relatively quickly because anything we change, you know, you need to have a lead time so everyone can adapt to a new system. What we want to get to is if we can get the RLPA and the clubs and everyone to buy into where we've got a bit more structure and we've got perhaps some fixed windows where this can happen and we've got some minimum requirements around when that happens. We can eliminate some of these situations that cause all of this frustration. But we have to be respectful of the fact that people have contracts. We have to be respectful of the fact that there are unintended consequences for some of the change. So we can't just bulldoze it through. We've got to work through it. But our commitment and the commitment of the RLPA through our negotiations, which I think is terrific, is we're going to sit down in the first half of this year and we're going to map out what a new system could look like. And that might include some contracting windows, and that might include some rules around when you can and can't necessarily be transferred or move your contract.
Andrew, so good to speak to you, mate. Glad to have you back on deck, and no doubt we'll cross paths over the coming months.
No, great to chat to you both. I'm getting excited. It means that because we're talking footy now, it means we're getting closer to the season, and I can't wait. It's going to be there's so many things to talk about. Clubs come back into form, new coaches, new players coming through. So it's going to be another terrific season. I can't wait. Thanks for having me on.
Good on you, mate. Andrew Abdo joining us. It's, of course, the CEO of the NRL. This is the Triple M Summer Session. Thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. I like Andrew. He's a good chat. I tell you what, though, Hoops, this is when you need Mr. Cranky Pants Paul Kent in here. The sort of bloke like Andrew Abdo out, though, isn't it?
He would have the Grey Nichols double scoop out, clipping him around both ears, making sure he was bleeding by the end of the interview. But no, look, he's doing a damn good job, Andrew. He obviously took over as the CEO of the game last year. He's been involved at NRL headquarters for a number of years now. And listening to him there, I thought he had, you know, some really good takeouts in terms of, you know, we are looking at transfer windows. That is a damn good chance of happening. I think a lot of fans for them, that speaks a lot of sense. So he's doing a good gig.
And we can't give the players enough credit, Hoops, for taking a pay cut. It doesn't matter what you get paid. If you've agreed to get paid that and then out, you're saying I'll accept less, mate, you got to get a pat on the back for that.
Yeah, they deserve a massive rap because they've made sacrifices. Mm. And especially it's the elite players. It's the state of origin players, the representative players that, you know, they're taking a 50% haircut when it comes to that arena. Now, it shouldn't matter about money when you're playing at that level. That's not why those blokes play the game. But at the same time, it is still a sacrifice and they deserve a rap for being prepared to go down that road.
Okay, good on you, Hoops. Hoops and Maroon. Of course, it's the Triple M NRL Summer Session. Thanks to Bryden's. We're back with more as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M Summer Session. Thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. They commit, protect and succeed.
Triple M Summer Session is thanks to Bryden's Lawyers, Hoops, where they commit,
protect
and succeed.
Very good people at Bryden's Lawyers. Proud, Lee Hedger Pantelis.
Yeah, proud sponsors of Maroon Confidential.
Yes, this is AKA Maroon Confidential, the Waterloo White Hand.
Now, this is what's going on in and around some of the great identities of rugby league, like our very own Paul Kent.
Over summer, yes. Yeah. And what have you got on the great man?
Well, this is a little bit later that I would have liked to have got it to air, but I had to confirm that it happened. A Christmas Eve 2020, outside the Broadway shops, where we used to always go when we were kids, because there was a Grace Brothers there.
Yes, the great, I remember the old Grace Brothers at Broadway.
But
yeah.
I don't know what's in there now, just a whole bunch of different shops.
Yeah, mate, there's cinema. 1,000 shops. Mm. Yeah, it's about 6 levels. Yeah, there is a cinema set up there. Mm. There's not a Grace Brothers anymore, but there are 100,000 various retail outlet shops. There's a Coles, there's an Aldi.
Yeah.
Might be a Woolies.
I think there's a pet store in there.
Yeah. Mm. Yep, you can throw that in. There's a big Rebel on is the corner there. Mm. Yeah, there's a pub called the Off-Broadway. That might explain why Kenny was there, actually. I don't know what he would have been doing around Broadway on Christmas Eve.
Well, this is not... I haven't embellished this.
Is this good mail?
This is good mail.
Right.
Paul Kent was at Broadway Shopping Centre on Christmas Eve, and you can't make this stuff up. Apparently, a cockatoo shat on him. Is that true? Hey?
Stop it. Well, you know what? If that is true, and I debate, I would highly question, especially given this segment, Maroon Confidential, like fair dinkum, I'm tipping most of it comes straight out of the Bull Eye Pass. if that is true, that's actually good luck. Yeah. That would explain why he's been flying on the punt lately.
Right.
Because they say if a bird shits on you, that's actually good luck.
Wow. Can you this mail did come from...
Look, I'll tell you what, we'll clear it up for next week's program. Mm-hmm. I'll speak to Kenny during the week. Mm-hmm. We might even get him on to have a bit of a giggle about
that'd be good
if it's true.
Andrew Abdo, boss of the NRL, spotted in northern New South Wales riding a push bike in his Sluggos.
Oh, wow.
We're going from cockatoos to budgie smugglers now.
Jeez, you have got the whole field covered, haven't you?
Mm. So Andrew Abdo up there, can't go across the border, can't go overseas. He's up there in northern New South Wales just riding around on a treadley.
Yeah, fair
keeping
play.
Fit. He's a good looking. He's a good looking rooster. Days. He's a good looking rooster, the old Andrew Abdo.
I worry about you sometimes, Anthony.
Matthew,
I worry about you a lot, actually.
Matthew Johns.
Yes, Matt from Collaroy. What's he up to?
Out of quarantine and down there at Ulladulla.
Quarantine. What do you mean quarantine?
Well, he was in the
He was in lockdown.
Lockdown. Yeah, on the northern beaches.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Oof. That would have been tough for Matt, I'm imagining.
So as soon as he got out of lockdown, he grabbed his beautiful, ageless, beautiful wife, Trish, threw her in the car, and took her down to Ulladulla.
Yep. Yeah. Well, Matt, if you don't, beautiful part of the South Coast down there, Mollymook, Ulladulla, all that sort of
you
area.
You got Funland.
Yeah.
Funland, Ulladulla. It's like an indoor fun park.
Okay.
Where Matthew got Trish on the cha-cha, all up into the Dodgem cars, and then putting balls in clowns' mouths.
Oh, you're a palooka.
Yeah.
You are a Fennigan palooka.
Back up the North Coast we go. Sam Burgess.
This segment's on fire.
It is, isn't it?
This segment's going gangbusters. Who else? Who's next?
Sam Burgess and Stuart Laundy back up there at Byron Bay.
Oh, geez, there's a good Quinella. Sammy B. And
now, that's Arthur's son.
Stu. Yeah, it is. Yeah, so heavily involved. He was actually played a big role in the Bulldogs and that sponsorship that the Laundy Hotel Group have now done with the club. But yeah, I'll tell you what, that's a big one to punch Sammy B and Stu.
I wonder if Stuart said to Sam, why don't you come over? We've got a big history of English involvement in our club. Can we get you over here educating our blokes?
At the Bulldogs?
Yeah.
Well, no, Sam's still involved with the Bunnies.
Of course
mate.
He is,
so
mate.
As if he's going to do that.
I mean,
never see him with another club.
No.
No, he's red and green to the core.
I mean, you're not going to get out of a Bentley and jump into a Hillman Hunter, are you?
I knew you were going somewhere.
You're not
going
to get out of a Bentley.
Yeah. You couldn't help, putting the slipper in. Could you? Mate, enjoy it while you're on top at the moment. The Bunnies are a good chance this year.
Oh, massive chance.
Everything's cyclical, Anthony.
Massive chance. This is
our
year.
The Dogs are on the way up. The Bulldogs are also on the rise.
Jai Arrow and the great Josh Mansour.
Yeah, Joshy Mansour.
You talk about...
Apparently he's already been doing a little bit of Lebanese dancing in the sheds there at Redfern, getting all the boys involved.
Yeah, I
had
heard
some
he
drums
was in
out.
The, what do you call the Lebanese dance?
What is it?
Some people call it the Lebanese nut bush, but I call it... it's called the dubkey. The dubkey. He was in there doing the dubkey. The drums were going. Yeah, kaboom, kaboom, kaboom.
Outstanding.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Having Josh back at the Rabbitohs. He was, of course, at the Rabbitohs in the very beginning.
Yeah, that's right. He started there. I think he got their player of the year when he was in the under-20s there, and he got the NRL winger of the year in the under-20s competition. Couldn't crack it into first grade, so ended up heading out to Penrith for an opportunity. Ironically enough, I think it might have been under Ivan Cleary when Ivan was first coaching out at the Panthers. And then obviously Ivan decided because of that hot young talent, that massive group of young talent that they've got emerging out there, the Forbes Ferrari, Charlie Staines, those types of players, they tapped Joshy on the shoulder with a year to run and told him that he was most likely going to struggle to make the side. So he gets an opportunity at Redfern, and I'm sure that he will be in Wayne Bennett's best 17.
Maroon Confidential will be back next week. A Triple M Summer Session continues shortly as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M Summer Session. Thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. They commit, protect and succeed.
Triple M Summer Session. We're almost done here. Thanks to Bryden's Lawyers, Maroon and Hoops. But before we go, just a little bit of the rumour mill, a few things happening around the clubs. Can I start, Hoops, with Katoni Staggs?
Yeah, this is an interesting one, Anthony. Katoni Staggs, gun player up at the Brisbane Broncos, probably would have played State of Origin for New South Wales last year if he didn't get injured towards the back of the season. But he's off contract, and his agent has contacted a number of clubs telling them that if they want to have a chat to Katoni, next week is D-Day. He's available for Zoom interviews, etc., if rival clubs want to make their best pitch to try and get him. But look, Kevin Walters, who's the new Brisbane Broncos coach and obviously a great friend of Triple M, I'd be thinking that he'd have Katoni Staggs high on his list of priorities to ensure that he remains at the Broncos. I think there might actually be a bit of a management dispute potentially going on there with Katoni Staggs. He's looked after at the moment by Isaac Moses, but I think Isaac is in the process of getting his registration cancelled. Mm. And so once that happens, I think we might see Katoni Staggs possibly switch to another agent. And I dare say he will stay at the Broncos. But that won't stop other clubs from trying to put their best sales pitch on this week coming. So we'll wait and see where it all shakes out.
Can I ask you if the player manager Isaac Moses is deregistered, is that the end for Isaac Moses?
No, it's still to be determined. So, look, certainly he won't be able to negotiate contracts with clubs at the coalface if the NRL does officially deregister him. They have signalled an intention that they are going to do that, but as of yet, he has been through an appeals process. He's gone to an NRL appeals tribunal. They have heard all the evidence. They have found in favour of the NRL and the NRL's integrity unit that they have determined Isaac Moses should have his registration cancelled. But at this point in time, it hasn't officially happened yet. So until it does, that's when we'll get a time frame on how long he's likely to be rubbed out of the game for.
Just another young, promising young Broncos player who seemed to get better as the season went on, even though all things considered they finished with the wooden spoon, Xavier Coates.
He's a superstar, this bloke. What about his intro into State of Origin football? He just looked like he belonged on the wing there for the Maroons. Shame that he got injured over the course of the series. But look, he is off contract. He's met already with Craig Bellamy from the Melbourne Storm. He's also met with Todd Payton from the North Queensland Cowboys. They won't be the only clubs pitching up to try and get young Xavier Coates. The Gold Coast Titans, he lives on the Gold Coast. So I've got no doubt they'll also be having a red hot crack at him. I'm not sure where this one lands yet. I think there's still a little bit to play out. But if the Broncos want to retain him, which I'm sure they do, they'll need to sharpen the pencil and make sure that they try and come up with the right package.
Okay, Hoops, that's it for today, mate. We'll be back next week.
Just before we go, apologies to Kalen Ponga, one of the young superstars of the game, who you managed to call Kalen Pinga. I think you're already thinking about, I know you and Christine, Miss Portugal, 1984, are off to Randy Wicks later on, all up Ivy Pool. You were already thinking about the good time you're about to launch into with the shiny disco balls and looking at your eyelids, cutting shapes, blowing bubbles, all that sort of thing. So apologies to Kalen. Anthony didn't mean it. He does know your last name is Ponga.
The only pill I'll be dropping tonight is one for cholesterol and one for blood pressure. And we'll see you next week as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.